grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The year was 1938. A plane has just landed on the tarmac. A man exits the plane, waving a piece of paper. It's the end of September. And much was happening in the world. After appearing with the king and queen on the balcony of Buckingham Palace, he arrived at number 10 Downing Street. From there, he read the wording of the paper he had waved in the air at the airport. The words were carried over the airways for all to hear. The following is just a portion of the words printed that Neville Chamberlain waved as he stepped off the plane on September 30th, 1938, after the Munich conference had ended the day before. The brief statement concluded with, "And we are determined to continue our efforts to remove possible sources of difference and thus to contribute to assure the peace of Europe." After reading the statement, Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain said, My good friends, for the second time in our history, a British Prime Minister has returned from Germany bringing peace with honor. I believe it is peace for our time. Go home and get a nice, quiet sleep." What happened? There was supposed to be peace. Less than a year later, September 1st, 1939, the Blitzkrieg, the lightning war, began as Stuka planes dive-bombed and tanks rolled into Poland. In less than 4 weeks, Poland fell. More would fall. April 1940, Denmark. April 1940, Norway. Belgium, May 1940. Netherlands, May 1940. Luxembourg, May 1940. France, May 1940. Yugoslavia, April 1941. Greece, 1941 of April. This was going on in Europe. Japan began its own aggression. A peaceful Sunday morning was wakened by the roar and resonance of multitudes of planes. 7:55 a.m. Hawaii time, Japanese dive bombers bearing the red symbol of the rising flag, rising sun of Japan on its wings, appeared out of the clouds above the island of Oahu. A swarm of 360 Japanese warplanes followed, descending on the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor in a ferocious assault. The surprise attack struck a critical blow against the U.S. Pacific Fleet, drawing us into the war irrevocably. Next day, joint session of Congress, President Roosevelt spoke those historic words 72 years ago today. He spoke those words. Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. Wasn't the war of 1914 supposed to be the war that ends all wars? Peace is so elusive in this world. We live in a fallen world filled with fallen human beings. Sin pervades all things. The desire to dominate and rule over others infiltrates much of daily life. Take what you can, force others to be your slave, rob, steal, kill, destroy. Evil is in the world wrecking its murderous ways. Yet in our own relativistic society, we cannot recognize evil. Oz Guinness, a Christian writer and apologist, states that he has come across on some college campuses that it's worse to judge evil than to do evil. He has found on college campuses people saying it is worse to judge evil than to actually do evil. Even brothers and sisters in Christ don't always get along. We don't always share the love of Christ, nor show mercy, grace, or forgiveness. Humanity is broken and fallen from what the Father created in the beginning with so much tender love as he gently breathed into the dust formed into man, breathed life. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. Wouldn't that be so wonderful? The time is coming when this will happen. But till that time, we can find comfort in the words of Jesus given us, recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. It's the night he was betrayed. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace, I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The peace of Christ is the knowledge of forgiveness and the reconciliation with God. It's a peace the world cannot give, a peace the world does not know, a peace the world actually rejects. But not so with you. Grab hold of that peace that God offers, the peace that only God can give. An old man, he lived day to day in expectation and anticipation. He was daily seeking the promises of the Lord. Getting up in the morning, he may have asked, "Lord, is this the day?" Day after day, "Lord, is this the day?" The days go by and soon the months go by too. "Lord, is this the day?" Perhaps even years have gone by. "Lord, is this the day?" Then one morning when the old man asked, "Lord, is this the day?" The answer came by the Holy Spirit, "Go to the temple. Today is the day. Today you will see the consolation of Israel. Today you will see the Messiah of Israel." For that's what consolation of Israel is. It means Messiah of Israel. Walking carefully through the crowd, watching out for Roman centurions that were what it would seem almost on every single corner, he makes his way to the temple. With great excitement building with each step, he sees the temple court. In he goes and he waits. Moments seem to stand still as he stares as the people pass by. This is the day the Lord promised he would see. More people pass by. The moments just melt into each other as he waits. Then his heart stops, his eyes fix, their gaze on a young family, a father, a young mother carrying a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, forcing his way through the great crowd, his eyes fixed on the family, and anticipation just fills his soul. A great day, the greatest day of his entire life. He reaches the family and he reaches for the child. He cradles a child in his own arms, a lifetime of waiting for this moment and gently holding the child as the father and mother look at him. He raises his eyes to the heavens. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Simeon, holding the child, the promised Messiah. Peace is seeing the Lord's salvation. Peace is receiving the Lord's salvation. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The peace that Jesus speaks about, the peace that Scripture reveals, is a combination of hope and trust and a quiet mind and soul that are brought about because we are reconciled with God. Peace because we are forgiven by God and made one with Him. Our Redeemer purchased this reconciliation by His own blood on the cross. Consider the world. Consider how the world reacted when the Prince of Peace was born. Herod sent soldiers and did an evil thing in Bethlehem. Years later, this Prince of Peace, what did the world do? They betrayed Him. They rejected Him. They crucified Him. And as they were driving those nails, the Prince of Peace responded with the words, "Father, forgive them." Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Peace, purchased through His blood shed on the cross. Reconciliation. So in the presence of God, in the sight of God, you are holy. You are without blemish. You are free from all accusation. That's what the Word of God teaches. It is true. Today, we light the candle of peace. We lit it. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We look forward to Christmas joy, yet the world is just as tumultuous as ever. China is expanding its sovereignty over international waters. Iran is scheming for nuclear weapons. Persecutions of Christians increasing, all in the name of a God that is not God. Yet, in Christ Jesus, you can have peace. Problems of daily life overwhelming you? Turn to Christ Jesus. You can have peace. Sorrow of heart? Turn to Christ Jesus. You can have peace. Sadness of soul? Turn to Christ Jesus, and you can have peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. Again, this is on the night He is betrayed in the upper room with His disciples. John 16, verse 33. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. He has delivered you. In him is your peace. There was a first coming, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And just as assuredly there was that first coming, a second coming may just be around the corner. Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. You may have peace now by Christ in your life. He is the Prince of Peace. And one day, all will be peace. For when he comes again, he will establish his kingdom where there will be no more weeping, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. There will be peace because we, brothers and sisters, will be in his presence forever. Because God became a child and died. The Redeemer came, giving us peace. Amen.